My name is Tina Andrew, and you're listening to Cultivating Indigenous Voices, a podcast spotlighting positive influences in and around Native communities. Skook Thash! Good day, fellow listeners, and thank you for tuning in to this month's episode titled Celebrating the Baidach. Baidach means saguaro fruit in Thonaotum language. Today we'll be discussing a historical cultural tradition the local Thonaotum have carried on since time immemorial. It's a pleasure to have with me in the studio a local member of the Thonaotum Nation and a local here in Chukchon, Tanisha Tucker. Thank you for coming out, Tanisha.
Yes, thank you for having me. Hello.
I've met Tanisha working side by side with her with the saguaro fruit harvest like 3 summers?
I believe so.
Yeah, wow.
I know. Time has flied. Yes. Flies by.
So if you want to share a bit of yourself with myself and the listeners.
All right. Well, I was born and raised here in Chukchon. I also grew up somewhat in Tapawa and Ali Chukchon with my grandma Juana, and then my family also in Tapawa. So we spent some summers out there and a lot of weekends. Yeah. And other than that, I've been here in the desert. I work here in town when I'm not doing the harvest. I'm a licensed massage therapist and I work independently. So that is very good for the schedule and, of course, the camp schedule, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So again, thank you for coming out. And just to give the listeners a little bit of a background of the history and the cultural tradition of harvesting the saguaro fruit. It is a celebration that happens once a year, and it's also known as the Autumn New Year. That is the harvest of the Baidach. Now, long ago, many Autumn families traveled to their camps every summer when it was time to harvest the sweet red saguaro fruit. They would take only the essentials such as cooking utensils, bedding for sleeping under the stars, water, and food. Family and friends started off before sunrise to allow for cooler temperatures while out harvesting. A few important tools you have to have are goiputs, which are your picking pole or picking stick, and a bucket to store the fruit once picked. This tradition of harvesting from the desert environment while giving back through song and ceremony and dance is spiritually believed to call in the monsoons or desert rains that helped water their crops and replenish the plant and animal life. And this is still a lifestyle that's represented in today's people. So Tanisha, could you tell us from your perspective, what does it mean when we say we're celebrating the Baidach or saguaro fruit?
Well, to me it means we're all coming together. We're all gathering at that time. Gathering not only as people, but, you know, as family and friends. We're gathering all our tools and all our things to get ready for the camp. And then, of course, we are out there gathering fruit. So it's more of a celebration, like a start of the season for us, I feel like that.
Could you also explain the Autumn New Year?
Well, the Autumn New Year, I know it starts with the harvest, that being the start of the new year, and then going into the monsoon seasons, that brings on the renewal, I guess, would you say, of that after the harvest to replenish for the flowers and all the plants, and that's when everything comes alive after that.
Yeah, so, you know, when I share this information with a lot of non-natives and I talk about the Autumn New Year, I always include that long ago, us natives, we weren't familiar with calendars and time and years and dates and those things. So we depended a lot on the seasons to tell us what time of year it was. So Autumn knew that every year, once a year, there came the saguaro fruit. And they knew that it was going to bring rain and replenishment to the land with their sacrifice of hard work and also through, you know, ceremony purposes, thinking spiritually about those things and asking for the rain to replenish the lands as well. So I like to include that little detail there. And so today I wanted to bring in Tanisha not only to talk about the harvest, but speaking of self-preservation and cultural history and identity, I think a lot about the social social gathering and great cultural space you and your mother, Stella, bring to the Bai-Dutch camp out in Swar National Park. Could you please narrate the long-standing history your family has at this particular location?
Well, from what my mom and my grandmother have told me, when my grandmother, Juanita Hill, used to go out there long, gosh, she was probably about 1920s is when they started picking in that area. And, you know, ever since then, she stayed in that area. And, of course, making that area a national monument around this in the 60s, that also is going to prohibit the fruit from being picked on the monument. So with that, her friends from the Arizona Desert Museum wrote a letter to give permission to continue harvesting there in that area. And it was, I believe, Stuart Udall who signed that off and gave permission. And then from there on, she continued. And she continued on until she couldn't pick no more. And she passed away in 94. And my mom took over that area and continued on the tradition and continued on with the classes and kept it alive. It's to be passed on to us afterwards. So, yeah.
Yeah. So Juanita Hill, she's your great-grandmother? Or
she would be, it would be my great-great-aunt in that sense, because she's my mom's great-aunt.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
So, and of course, you know, in the autumn tradition, it's always, this is your grandmother, this is your aunt. So, but that's the breakdown of it. And of course, when I was younger, it was just, this is Grandma Juana.
That is super awesome. I love to hear the family history and the fact that the family has been there in that area before Sawar National Monument, Sawar National Park. The family has been able to be self-sustained in that area, and I think that it's definitely provided and benefited a lot of Otham throughout the years and throughout the generations. And I think that's a really awesome that your family is still there, and I'm happy to have met you and your family and hear the history and share it with, you know, visitors as well.
Yes, no, absolutely. I'm so glad you're there. You know, it's a great bridge. I'm glad the park is now working with the nation. And, you know, it's something that needs to be preserved. That is the goal, is just to keep that tradition going, for not only for us, but also for the youth.
Yeah, definitely. One point that I wanted to talk about a little was talking about the intercultural exchange and understanding that happens within the camp, because you do get a lot of, not only do you get Otham visitors, but you get a lot of non-natives, right?
Yes. Yes, we do. And I think it's the people who aren't familiar with that area, they're just in awe and mystified of these huge saguaro cactuses out there. And then to find out that there are people who actually, you know, harvest and do ceremonies around them and, you know, and stay out at that camp and worship these saguaros pretty much. They're, you know, they're definitely drawn to that area. And also with a lot of people who just harvest locally and people who want to eat locally, you know, they've also found their way out to the camp just because this is food that's here for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's nutritious, it's delicious, and yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yes. So there's the fresh saguaro fruit, and then there's the saguaro fruit that is dry, which I would prefer as nature's sweet candy, and we call it the June, right?
Yes.
So, it could be, you know, when we talk about the processing part of it and you're out there picking the fruit, there's a lot of the dry fruit that has already been sitting out and caramelizing in the sun. So it's definitely ready to eat once you're out there picking. So
it's your reward for your hard work.
Yes.
It's cleaned, it's dried, and it gives you the energy you need to keep going.
Mm-hmm. So when I was looking more into this topic, and, you know, I'm always doing my research on whatever it is we're going to be discussing, and I Googled your mom, and I found a lot of information, a lot of articles that she's been in, videos that she's been in where she's doing demonstrations. And that was always a big part of even your great-great-grandma Juanita and then Stella and yourself is doing demonstrations, right?
Yes, yes, lots. I mean, it's the people have continued to come out there as far as journalists and anyone who is wanting to know about, you know, the native culture, and not only that, just us harvesting. But yeah, I've seen pictures still to this day of, you know, my grandma Juana, and then of course my mom, and yeah, lots of popularity around that.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty awesome to even see Stella and see her as now as an autumn elder, but as a cultural teacher, really, as well as yourself. And I think that it's pretty awesome that you've been able to carry on this important tradition through times. And I'm glad that the family is still able to be there. Now, tell us a little bit more about the camp. I know that your family is the only camp that's there now. Mm-hmm. Were there other camps before?
Yes. When I was younger, I do remember there was probably around 4 total camps out in that area where we camp now. And because the elders that were there, they passed on and, mm-hmm. you know, none of the family came out to, you know, tend to the camps. They just kind of fell and they were never, you know, reestablished. But mm-hmm. that area was very popular with a lot of different families. And there's some, too, across the way. Mm-hmm. There used to be another couple families over there, too, that I remember. But yeah, wow. At that one time, yeah, there was a lot.
And that you guys are the only family that's left to carry it on.
I know. Yeah, at least in that area. You know, mm-hmm. I'm happy to hear that there are a lot more groups doing it. Mm-hmm. They may not be out at Saguaro National Park, but they're out in other villages, and they're also continuing on the harvest and teaching mm-hmm. The kids and anyone else who wants to know within the tribe. And I think that's great. You know, that's what we need, regardless if they're out there or mm-hmm. wherever they may be. It's just as long as it continues.
Definitely very, very important. If you can imagine or even picture autumn families being in that area, coming out every summer to harvest and to celebrate the new year and to be with family and friends, sitting under the wato or the ramada. So there's a lot of good things, a lot of fun times. Even now, you know, my experience the past 3 years going out there definitely brought back a lot of memories, because the last time I picked Baidach, I was just a kid. And coming back as an adult and understanding the true meaning of this yearly harvest definitely changed my perspective. And feeling the love and welcoming hugs and smiles in the area is definitely always a good feeling. And this past summer, being at the camp, it was nice to hang out with you all, and even nice to make some chimith for a little bit to enjoy a good meal, some breakfast after picking.
Yes, that's the one thing about, you know, all of us out there gathering. It's a lot of cooking, and that's, you know, it's mm-hmm. just very communal. It's very traditional for us to all kind of gather, and the women, even the men out there, they may be more chopping wood, but they, you know, they come in and they help, and it's, you know, we all are definitely fed and sustained after that, and we do it for everybody else out there who's harvesting too, mm-hmm. you know, just to make sure we keep their energy up and mm-hmm. Replenish them.
So, yeah. So how do you guys manage to stay cool, especially for your mom now that she's an elder?
Yes, I'm very careful about her being out there for too long. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, my gosh, she could stay out there for weeks. And I mean, wow. I was the one, you know, falling out. But yes, out there having, you know, sweating.
Being all extra out there.
Yes, extra. And she just kept going. And, you know, now it's more about just making sure she's okay. Yeah.
So let's talk about the processing part. Like, how does that happen?
The processing, well, it's a lot of gathering a lot of fruit, a lot mm-hmm. of fruit. We usually don't cook anything until it's about 3 to 5 gallons of pure fruit. No mm-hmm. pods, nothing in there.
Yeah.
Mixing that in with probably around roughly half of that amount in water, and cleaning everything, making sure, you know, to mush all the fruit up, mm-hmm. putting that on the fire and making sure that fire is really hot, and letting it boil for at least about a good hour. Mm-hmm. Then it starts to foam up, and that's where all the stickers and the leaves come up, and you kind of just skim that foam off. And after that, it's about ready to take off and do the straining process, which mm-hmm. is 2 strains. We use just a mesh wire strainer, and then after that, it goes through even finer strainer, which is a cheesecloth strain. Mm-hmm. And after that, what you have is just the clean syrup, the clean fruit with the water. water, and that goes back on the flame, and that cooks for at least a good 4 hours.
Wow.
So pretty much, you know, it's an all-day process, mm-hmm. and that just, you slowly watch it, keep tending to the fire, it cooks down, that water evaporates, and it mm-hmm. the liquid becomes more syrup and thicker, more viscosity, and mm-hmm. then it's ready to go after that, and let it cool and jar it.
Yes, I'm very appreciative of the small jar that you guys gifted me with. I love it, and it's...
Absolutely. No, it's good. It's the taste of it. It's not like nothing else.
Mm-hmm, and definitely.
You know, you can mix it with all kinds of stuff. Ice cream, dessert. It's very good.
So the goiputs, or the picking pose, you made some new ones this year. How long did they usually last you?
Oh my goodness. You know, the gentlemen, the guys out there used to do some very good ones. Siberty, who passed away, gosh, quite a few years ago, he and his uncles, they used to make some, I mean, they'd last for 5-6 years out there in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm learning right now how to make them. I'm in the process of just trial and error.
Yeah.
And asking some of the guys who come out there, like, uh-huh. how did you guys make your, you know, your goiputs? And they tell me, and you know, whatever information I need is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I did some more this year. Of course, I'm probably going to do another batch this coming up, you know, for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But they worked out. They lasted.
They did.
You know, if they're really well made, they'll last for a long time.
Mm. So I know we talked a little bit earlier about the different sites, articles that your family has been featured in, and I came upon one that was actually Los Angeles Times.
Oh, wow.
It was an online article that featured your mom, Stella. Oh, yeah, I was really surprised. And then just today, you know, like the Edible Baja Arizona magazine that is out right now, it's free if you're out there, and you see the cover is of an elder picking saguaro fruit. And another cool one was Arizona Highways Magazine.
That one was a nice one.
That one was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I also remember seeing it when I was reading the Arizona Highways article. They had featured a small picture of the, in 1983, I think it was, when your grandma Juanita was featured on the cover of Arizona Highways Magazine. I thought that was really cool.
Yes, yes. That was a nice to have that in there also.
Mm-hmm. So just to get into more questioning, what age were you when you did your first harvest?
I probably was around 8 or 9 when they let me go out. I remember going out there, and I was probably about 5 or 6.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, I wanted to go with my mom. I wanted to go pick. And she said, no, you're too little. And you'll hold us, you know, you'll keep us back. And, you know, you stay here with grandma and, you know, help her around the camp. And, of course, I was not happy about that. But then after I got to sit, you know, I was sitting with her, and I watch her make her baskets, and I'd help her do anything around the camp, and
mm-hmm.
it was really nice to enjoy that part of it with her, and just waiting for my mom to get back. But yeah, and then finally she did. She let me go out.
That's cool. So how long do you all usually camp out for every summer?
You know, it varies on the season and what the saguaros are doing. We're usually out there about the whole month of June,
mm-hmm.
maybe give or take a week in, you know, before and after, like right in May. We may get out there at the last week of May to mm-hmm. kind of get things ready. Just,
yeah.
you know, checking out the camp, checking out how the saguaros are doing,
mm-hmm.
talk to them,
mm-hmm.
say hello, and then, you know, right around June is when everything starts ripening, and then that's the time of the harvest and
mm-hmm.
picking. And then we'll stay probably until about the first week of July, maybe second week of July.
Mm-hmm.
So and you know, it goes anywhere from about 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was also read, or I think it was a video that I seen of your mom, and she was talking about when she would come every year and she'd go out there, and she actually has a few favorite saguaros that she goes and visits, and she'll talk to them, and sometimes they'll be doing good and sometimes have fallen down, and just her relationship with the Hashan
mm-hmm.
is pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really cool to see the relationship, how strong it is with the George, with the land out there.
Yeah, no, it is. It's, you know, it's important because they, as my mom said, and we've always treated that area, those saguaros are like our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see them every year. You know, sometimes we can see them a little bit more than once a year, but when we do, it, you know, we want to see how they're doing, and hopefully they're still standing. They survived the, you know, the rain and the winter. And, you know, sometimes we'll come back and they'll have extra family members around them, you know, little ones, toddlers, and they're all growing around each other. So, you know, it's nice to see, you know, that they're still out there, and it's just, it's familiar. It's, you know, it's home. It's, it's, that's the foundation out there. So we definitely, I definitely love that. I used to go out and pick with her, and she, I remember her favorite saguaro.
So, cool. That's so cool. So what is the best part after all the hard work?
You know, of course, it's always eating all the syrup. But for me, it's the rains. When the rains finally come through, I mean, after we've survived that triple digits, it's super hot out there. That rain hits the ground and the smell of the desert. And it's just, you know, it's all the creosote or the shuge out there, everything you can smell. It's just everything smells so fresh and nothing looks so dry.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's my favorite part. It's just that nice ending to all the hard work we've done. And yeah, I'm appreciative of that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yes, most definitely. And that's what the past, what maybe past week, we've been getting rain almost every day, and it's been so nice.
It has been. I do. And I've driven by the desert, and I'm like, oh, there, you've gotten water. You look healthy. You look happy. So.
Yes. That's what I was feeling the other day when I went to work, and I, you know, wrote about it on an Instagram post and took a photo and talked about how I felt like the plants and animals were happy, even though they are adapted to the desert. But with the drought and the lack of water, they too get withered as well.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And it's nice to see them change. You know, when you can see everything so green, you start to see these little like grass patches and moss growing.
Oh, yeah, the moss.
Yeah, and all the June bugs come out. So, yeah, no, it's very nice.
Everybody's coming out. Yes. All the gomchkud and the bun. And
oh, yes. They look all hydrated.
I know. They're walking around all happy.
Yes. Oh, yes.
All right. So how important is it to you in passing on this valued tradition to future generations?
I think it's very important because we want to keep the ceremonies and the saguaro sacred, and also this love and appreciation for them, the respect for them, and, you know, to know that they're our ancestors. So I think it's important that the youth knows that, and to keep that connection alive and open. You know, everything with technology nowadays, you know, people don't leave their houses. It's nice to get out there and actually connect on with the desert. And I think that's very important for us to continue on, you know, with Mother Earth and just with the land.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why we're Thawna Autumn, because we're desert people.
That's right.
And what other ways do you carry on tradition and culture within the community or even in your own personal life?
It's usually by just, you know, continuing to keep things, native foods in, you know, in my home, and just serving them, and also showing them to people who've never had them. The chiorim, the sito, you know, anything that, you know, the breads that we make, and, you know, the mesquite. So, yeah, it's just, you know, by keeping that and sharing that with others.
Cool.
And that's how I keep that going.
You know, I want to try this year, and I know the season isn't here yet, but in August into September, I want to go and pick some ipay. And make jelly.
Yeah, I've never done that. I'd like to try that one, too.
Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I kind of looked online and looked into what ways or how it's made, what the process looks like, and it seems pretty easy, and I think I could definitely do it. So I want to make maybe at least 3 or 4 jars, and maybe, you know, I can gift you with the jar.
Yeah, or let me know. Maybe I'll come out and join you, because I definitely like to take part of it.
Yeah,
part of that.
Definitely.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely let you know.
Cool.
Okay, so now, you know, we're just getting to the end of the interview, and I just wanted to share my ending thoughts, and I want to reflect back to my years as a young girl when I would go out with my brothers and cousins and pick the baydach. We would spend the morning making our koiputs, packing a snack, and filling up our water bottles before heading out. We would harvest throughout the morning, and upon returning, my huori, or my grandma, Isabel, would always have a nice warm homemade meal waiting for us. So that was always good to come back and, you know, be hungry and have that waiting. And she definitely appreciated because, again, you know, she being elder, she could no longer go out herself. So she definitely relied on us to do it. And we were happy to do it for her. And back then, it's not that we did it because we were told to. It was because it was and always has been just something that we did as autumn. And for myself, I didn't really understand or know the true meaning to it until my adult years. Mm-hmm. And now I understand that it's more about a social gathering and giving our youth some roots, staying grounded in our culture, and remaining proud that this is a tradition that has survived through the times. Now, as we're closing out, Tanisha, I would like to give you the floor to share any ending thoughts or shout-outs, etc., whatever you want to share.
Just that I thank everyone who came out to this harvest and welcome anyone who wants to come out for the next harvest. You know, please join us. Also get in touch with, you know, Tina if you need to. She's at the park. You know, you can always contact her and then find us out there. But we'll be out there the hottest part of the year.
One quick thing I forgot to mention. I'm sorry. I know when your mom, she was talking to me and she talked about, you know, retiring. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like what's going to change after that?
You know, the thing is she's just going to pass on everything as far as me taking care of the classes and teaching and just leading the groups out to harvest, you know, and that's something that she's retiring from because as also too, as an elder, she can't get out there and do like she used to when she was younger as harvest and, you know, have the energy to keep up with all these classes. Cause as you can see, they're large classes.
Yes.
So, you know, she's passing that on to me. She says she's retiring, but she's still going to be out there. She's still in charge.
Yes.
And
she's the supervisor now.
And, you know, yes, she's the one I always go to, you know, if I need any answers for anything. So she's still going to be there, but I'm the one who's just going to be doing the classes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And the main contact person, right?
The main contact, she'll send, you know, she forwards everyone over to me. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be nice.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again for coming and being in the studio with me, Tanisha. Yes. I definitely appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tina.
And thank you, listeners. And this is Cultivating Indigenous Voices. Thank you.